This is Dave Glowatz. I'm here with the Chicago Reader's Ben Jurovsky for our first interview after the 2011 Chicago mayoral elections, which I'm certain will have many ramifications. Ben, any initial comments on those ramifications?
Not really. I didn't vote for him. I lost again.
We're not the wide world of sports here, so it's not necessarily...
I have a losing record. Okay, so I shouldn't take it personally.
I don't think so. But today, we're talking about something else. We're talking about your article called Carving Time Approaches, which appears in The Reader on February 24th, 2011. In this article, you sort of set the stage for what is coming up in terms of the Chicago ward remaps that happen after each...
census.
Let's start off by talking about the law. Who does the state or city law say is responsible for creating the new ward maps after a census?
Oh, I think it's a state law. Wherever it's stipulated, and I believe it's the state, don't quote me if I'm wrong, but I believe it's state law that stipulates the city council does the map making.
Yet in your article, you talk about how former Mayor Byrne hired a consultant.
She brought in a consultant. That is correct.
So what is the mayor's role if it's the city council's responsibility?
Well, the mayor's role is to run the city council. That's generally how things go around here. So in that case, the mayor was Jane Byrne. And, you know, I can't remember who the chief aldermanic architect was that year. It may have been Wilson Frost, but generally the way it works is that somebody from the mayor's office works with some alderman who's put in charge of representing the city council. In the last go-around of 2000, that was Richard Mell from the 33rd Ward, and I believe it was also Mell in 1991 when the ward map was redrawn. By then, of course, Richard M. Daley was the mayor, and he sent down somebody from City Hall. I don't even know who it was. So it's usually the key people are whoever is representing the mayor and who's ever representing the city council. And what they do in conjunction with each other is to call in each individual alderman to show him or her the particular boundaries for their wards. And so really the aldermen, it's a sort of like a perfect symbol of how the aldermen act anyway. They're not thinking in terms of the citywide interests. They're thinking, of course, in their own self-interest, and they sacrifice the larger citywide interest for their own particular interest. So they approve their own boundaries, essentially.
So for the uninitiated, let's take an example. Can you imagine a conversation with the architects and an alderman who's brought in to look at the boundaries? What sorts of things would the alderman be looking for, or what might the architects be offering?
Well, there's wheeling and dealing, okay, and there's brokering that goes on. So as the consultant, former alderman Tom Keene, told me when I was fortunate enough to get an interview with him, if you make one change in one fellow's ward, you have to make another change in another person's ward. Remember, the whole purpose of rearranging the ward boundaries is to make sure that there's the same number of people who live in each ward.
That's the statutory requirement.
Yes. Well, they wouldn't change them at all if they didn't have that requirement. It's in the U.S. Constitution, one man, one vote.
But then the architects have another set of agenda.
Okay, so then when you get around to rearranging the wards, drawing the boundaries so that the populations are equal, you start messing with people's home turf. And so it may require taking valuable precincts out of Alderman Jones's ward and putting those valuable precincts into Alderman Bob's ward. And when I say valuable to Alderman Jones, I mean they're loyal voters. He does not want to give those precincts up. So what happens is the complicated horse trading would be along the lines of an alderman saying, I don't want to lose those precincts because the people have been dumb enough to vote for me loyally, slavishly for the last 20 years. Please take these precincts where they're those ungrateful slobs. Don't vote for me dutifully. And so the mayor's person or whoever the agent is said, okay, well, then that means going to the adjoining alderman who's going to have to take a portion of those precincts and say, all right, you take these precincts. What do you want to give up? And so that's the kind of horse trading that goes on as aldermen try to shed precincts that are not loyal to them and keep precincts that are loyal to them.
When do you think this process will start?
It generally starts in the summer or fall after the census is completed. So that would be sometime this summer, sometime this fall.
After I'm stumbling over it, after Mayor Emanuel is seated. So
that is
presumably
correct.
He will have say.
A mighty say, yes, he will be. I cannot imagine, even though he keeps talking about peace with the city council, that he would just say, "Oh, you know what, you fellas just do this on your own. I really don't care. I got enough things to do.
Let me know how it turns out.
Yeah, just let me know, okay? Maybe you could tell Ben, and I'll read his column, and then listen to his interview with Dave, and then I'll know. No, I got a feeling he'll be right there in the thick of it.
Let's talk about supermajority wards. It's something you mentioned in your article. You talk about retaining supermajority Black and Hispanic wards. And then speaking of fantasies, you fantasize about drawing ward boundaries with no regard to race or ethnicity. Does not doing that and denying that constituents and leaders can work with each other regardless of race, does that seem cynical to you?
Cynical?
Yeah, to not even attempt to draw ward boundaries without regard.
I don't know if the word is cynical. I think it's the most practical. See, I could have gone on and on in this article. This truly is one of my favorite topics, right up there with TIFs and election law. This wrangling over supermajorities goes back to the days of the 50s and 60s, where Blacks were moving to Chicago in great numbers. There's been two large migrations of Black people to the city of Chicago. One occurred in the early part of the 20th century, and the other occurred after World War II. As a result, neighborhoods that had been once all white or predominantly white were now predominantly Black. So the city rulers, not wanting to leave the elections up to the will of the people, tried to engineer the boundaries in order to preserve the incumbency of the white aldermen. Instead of course, trying to run a campaign in such a way, this is where it doesn't sound cynical, it sounds hopelessly naive, where Black people would willingly vote for the white person because that white person was as fair to them as any Black person. So we had this notion of racial pandering and posturing that goes back to the 50s and the 60s. What happened in 1980, or 81, excuse me, when the ward map was drawn in such a way as to preserve the incumbency of white aldermen and carve up Black communities and spread Black populations into several wards so as to dilute their voting power, a lawsuit was filed claiming that this is a violation of the Civil Rights Act and that Black people were denied their right to elect people of their own choice. And the underlying premise is one that a lot of people are uncomfortable with, which is that only if Black people get 80%, I think that's the number, again, don't quote me, 80% of a ward is Black, then that's the only way to guarantee that they will have the right to choose their own alderman. And it has to do with a lot of the age difference between white people and Black people. White people are generally older, so there's fewer Black voters relative to the population, et cetera, et cetera.
And was this a court finding?
This was an argument raised in a court case that dragged on for several years in the 80s, and eventually the court ruled in favor of the plaintiffs, and they redrew the maps. And at this point, there were special elections ordered in 1986. People just remember that there was this one particular election involving Luis Gutierrez. But what they forget is that special election was called because a federal judge ordered the city to change the boundaries of several wards, including the 26th ward where Luis was.
So in remapping this time around, is that criterion still
holding? I don't know. You know, it's all a matter of, first of all, will somebody file a lawsuit? Things have changed drastically since then. Now we're getting into the realm of constitutional law. But, I mean, there's some serious issues here. First of all, the Black population is falling. It's not rising. So if you're going to even apply the same supermajority standards, it's harder to argue that Blacks should get more, quote unquote, supermajority Black wards because overall their population's falling, so they should get less. Secondly, racial attitudes in terms of voting have changed measurably since the early 80s. Toni Preckwinkle, a Black woman, was elected countywide in a Democratic primary running against one white person and three other Black people. What does that mean? That means that white people are open-minded, or at least much more open-minded than they were in the 1980s, and are willing to vote for a Black person. So the argument that you need 80% supermajority of Blacks to elect a Black official is sort of an old, outdated principle. You know, I don't know if a lawsuit will be filed. I mean, it's easy to file a lawsuit. I doubt they're going to prevail along these old patterns. If there is a lawsuit that's filed, it'll probably come from the Hispanic community because that's the population that's growing the most. But again, it's hard to argue in favor of Hispanic majorities because in the last remapping, the council, recognizing that the Hispanic population was growing, created two super Hispanic majority wards that are represented by a fellow named Richard Mell, who's not Hispanic, and a fellow named Ed Burke, who's not a Hispanic, and neither of them had any opposition in this election. So it's kind of hard to argue that you're keeping Hispanics from electing other Hispanics when they seem perfectly happy to be electing Richard Mell and Ed Burt. But there will be a lot of colorful, you know, wheeling and dealing and backstabbing, which generally happens whenever the council gets together on these measures.
Which I'm sure we'll be talking about in the future.
Yes, sir.
Ben Jurowski of the Chicago Reader, thanks for joining me today.
Thank you, sir.
This is Dave Gloetz. You've been listening to the rest of the story. When you get a chance, check back at MrRadio.org for further installments.
.org.
Or subscribe to our podcast. Thanks for listening.